This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. Frank Sasso here, a History with God Ministries, this week's Godcast. How's everybody doing? Okay, so recently I found out something about a good friend of ours, Jason Balick. Jason is one of our devotion writers. He also did a Godcast on peace a couple weeks ago. So I'm talking to him, and I find out that he used to be a rapper. That's right, a rapper. Like, you know, you heard of Toby Mac, Run DMC, Will Smith, Jason Balick. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to play a little clip right now of one of his songs. Check this out.
First leg of the race, like you down the blocks in first place, because the style is unorthodox. Clorox the breather is the name you say. When I'm on the microphone, get out the way. Make room for the new moonshine, because the tide is high. Standing on the front lines, ready to die. With the cause, but the pause and the action means relaxing. So like Reggie, time for some action. Passion mixed with my total attraction happens to be the most lethal contraption. Rapping with all these other cats mouth rapping, that ain't an MC, so I have to get back in the game. Elevate to the level I create, but my time is up. Pass the baton, you're too late.
Inside the temple of the mental monumental steps are taken when the self is shaken, and we find replacement for a self-serving cause and pause for a second or two and notice what's true. We've been created whether from God or embryonic stages. Creation is the motivation for the innovation and the celebration of the seventh day when God rested and blessed what he made. It's amazing how creation's ever changing and ongoing, keeps us knowing that God never leaves, so let us cleave to him.
Now, if you like what you just heard, I want you to email me. If you want to hear more of Jason rapping, I'm trying to encourage him to do more of this stuff. Like, I really want to hear one on the armor of God, but don't tell him I said that. So, anyway. Okay, so just to switch gears a minute. Sometimes you hear a message comes along that is so opposite of what the word teaches. And we heard a preacher once, we heard him say this: if you're going through a devastating period of your life, you are going the right way. So my wife and I were talking about this, and it's like hurtful in a sense. Like, we know people hear messages like this and they believe them. So my wife and I got into a discussion about it, and here's that discussion.
I want to talk about a message that I've heard spoken, and I think it is a terrible message.
What do you mean?
I don't want to give it a lot of life because I don't want people to hear the message because I think it's so horrible. But it's this message of, if you're not living a life of poverty and, to use the word, devastation,
yeah,
then you're really, you know, you're not living for the Lord. Show me in the scripture where it says, I came to give you devastation and devastation more abundantly. I want to see that in the scripture.
No, that's not.
Or anything, something like that.
That's not.
Because I think I believe the scripture says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Let me see what the definition of devastation is. Because I'm just, you know, I don't want to be all going off half-cocked here. I want to make sure I have the right words.
What does it say in dictionary.com, the meaning of devastation?
To devastate. To lay waste. Waste and God together? I don't see
waste,
it.
Waste, no.
Not in the New Testament, anyway. To make desolate, ravage, destroy, to confound, which means to confuse, or overwhelm, as with grief or shock. Okay, that's from World English Dictionary. That's devastate. Devastation, word origin and history, the act of devastating, destruction, desolation, to lay waste completely, empty, desolate, see, waste. And related search, I like the related searches.
What's the related search?
Tornado, Hurricane Katrina, fault, debris, confusion, havoc, Holocaust.
Holocaust? That's not, that was not of God.
Nuclear winter. I just don't see this as being God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. Doesn't sound like God to me.
Well, this is the word we heard. If you're going through a devastating period of your life, you are going the right way.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, unless I'm missing it in the word.
But you hear a message like this, and you get to the point where you sound so upset and so angry that a message like that is getting preached.
Well, I get angry because I feel like God is so good and he loves us so much. How do you twist it so much? What are you reading that you're getting devastation and waste and loss and grief from that, from the New Testament, which is gospel, meaning good, great news. It's so good, you almost can't believe it's so good. It's so good, and yet you're getting devastation out of that. I'm not seeing it, and thank God I'm not seeing it.
Well, that
I'm glad I can't understand it. I'm glad that I don't get it. I'm glad when I read the word, I see hope, I see joy, I see peace. I see fruitfulness, I see life, I see health, I see prosperity, I see goodness and goodness and greatness and wonderfulness and love and love and love.
Amen.
I mean,
When you spend as much time in the Word as you do, and then you hear something like that, and you know people are listening to this, they start believing this. It's so much more work then to undo.
Well, here's where I think why people want, maybe people gravitate to that message or hear that message and believe it, is because they can look at their own life and say, yeah, that's where I am. I'm devastated. I'm broke. I'm sick. I must be really doing the right thing. And you know what? I'm not saying that you're doing the wrong thing by being broke and sick. I'm just saying you don't know the truth.
Right.
And because you don't know the truth, you don't know your rights, and you don't know that you don't have to live like that.
Right.
You don't have to live like that. That is not God's intent for your life, nor his purpose for your life, for you to live like that. He came to give you life.
And life in abundance.
In abundance. For his glory. Not for your glory. For his glory. Because you know what? I have an abundant life. Is it going to be more abundant in the future? Absolutely. It only gets greater and greater and greater.
Amen.
So guess what? I'm excited. And guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about the God who provides this for me. I'm excited about God and how good he is, not how great I am.
Right. And that same God, unfortunately, though, the way a lot of people would preach it, can also, well, you know, in his sovereignty, he can kill you.
People have no idea what that word means.
Sovereign.
Right.
I know. Well, what does sovereign mean?
I'm going to just give you my own, in my own words. I'm not looking it up. But sovereignty means to be all-powerful, all-knowing. But in that, there's also a great responsibility to the person you're reigning over.
Okay.
It means you have a responsibility to that person.
You as the one who's sovereign.
Or people. Right. The one who's sovereign has a great responsibility of care over the people that this, say, king is responsible for.
Right.
That means sovereignty comes with care and love and beneficence towards the people that they're head over. It doesn't mean they can do whatever they want willy-nilly.
And that's the explanation. Well, God's sovereign. That's why. So when someone says, well, how come so-and-so didn't get healed? And they go, well, because God is sovereign, and we don't know why, because God is sovereign.
Like,
what does that mean?
It means nothing. It
exactly.
means absolutely nothing. The person who did... look, I'm not going to go and try and figure out why people don't get healed. I'm sure there's a multitude of reasons. But one of them, I know, it is not because God didn't do something.
Well, God allowed it.
Right. Because Jesus already took care of sickness.
Right.
He already killed sickness. He took 39 stripes... so that we would be healed. Past tense, finished, done. It is finished!
And there's a lot of religious folk, including preachers and pastors, that would call that heresy, what you're saying.
That's okay.
I know. It is okay, because it's the truth. So say what you want
to
say.
That's okay. You know what?
That's the truth.
Whole Spanish Inquisition was built on people saying that people were heretics. They
right.
were burning people at the stakes, putting them in the rack. And you know what? You want to talk about the Spanish Inquisition? There's a whole nother podcast, okay? But what would you think of a king, having just watched some information about Henry VIII, a king who takes all the power for himself with no holds barred? He can do whatever he wants. He's got no checks, no balances.
Right.
He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't like you? Treason.
Both with your head.
He can, you know, torture you until you admit, yeah, okay, I committed treason. I'd do anything to stop the torture. Stop
it, even if you didn't commit treason.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, so is he sovereign? Yeah, he can do whatever he wants, but would anybody say that's a good king?
Exactly. Nobody would say that's a good king.
Nobody would say
in their right mind.
Right. So we accuse God of the same behavior?
Right. Okay, we agree that if you kill somebody, that's wrong.
Yes.
You shouldn't kill people. Murder's wrong.
Yes.
It's one of the Ten Commandments.
Well, actually, it's also illegal.
Well, yeah.
It's against the law.
But that's why it's illegal, because it's wrong, and it's it's hurtful.
Yes.
And it's horrible. It's a horrible thing to kill somebody, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay, not that I would kill anybody.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. God says, do not kill.
Yes.
Do not murder.
Right.
Okay.
God is for life.
God is for life. He loves life.
Yes.
We kill somebody, that's totally wrong. You shouldn't kill people.
Right.
You're a murderer.
Right.
But when someone dies of cancer or something, we say, well, why'd they die? Why did God allow that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because God is sovereign. Actually, God took them home.
Right.
Not even that God allowed. God took them home.
Right. Basically, God killed them.
Yeah, basically, it's a nice way of saying God killed them. Well, how can you say it? Well, explain that. I can't. You know, God is sovereign. And they use that as a blanket statement to explain away why they're not here anymore.
Right.
That's the problem with sovereignty, the way people
understand it.
If you're going through a devastating period of your life, you're going the right way.
That's ridiculous.
So what's the problem?
All right, this is Andrew Womack, Luke 9:23. Self-denial is an important part of the Christian life. Jesus sacrificed his life for us, and he demands we die to ourselves that we might experience this new life he has provided. We do this first by recognizing that we can't save ourselves by our own effort, and second, by trusting God, not self, for salvation. Then we daily need to deny our own wisdom and seek God's wisdom and direction for our lives. Self-denial is only good when it is denying ourselves for the singular purpose of exalting Jesus and his will for us in some area of our lives. Some have made a religion out of self-denial and take pride in their denial, not in Jesus' lordship. This leads against legalism and bondage, which Paul condemns as will worship, Colossians 2:23. We are told not only to deny ourselves, but to take up our cross and follow Jesus. The real benefits of fasting come as a result of denying ourselves. However, if we fast to glorify ourselves as the Pharisees did, we have no reward from God. All we will get from such a fast is hungry. The cross is what Jesus died on. There are circumstances in our lives that, like the cross of Jesus, give us the opportunity to die to ourselves each day. They are not things like sickness, poverty, etc., for which Jesus' atonement provided redemption, but rather things like persecution, from which we are not redeemed, and the constant battle between our flesh and our born-again spirits. Our cross that we must bear is to take God's word, which is his will, and exalt it above our own will
right.
in every situation that we face each day. It is very important that we take up our cross daily. Consistency is one of the most important keys to subduing the flesh. We cannot seek God in spurts and expect to reach maturity. The victory goes to those who abide in him.
So, what do? We pick up the cross. We pick up our cross, which means what Jesus picked up on that cross, we pick it up. What does picking up our cross mean? It means picking up victory, picking up healing, picking up prosperity, picking up everything that was paid for on that cross. You pick it up and follow Jesus. Pick it up.
I think what the cross is that it gives us the opportunity to die to ourselves each day.
Yeah, die to worry, die to trying to figure
right.
things out.
Die to sickness, die to poverty.
Amen.
Because Jesus atoned for all these things already and died in our flesh and let our born-again spirits have preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
The cross that we must bear is to take God's word, which is his will, and exalt it above our own will in every situation that we face each day.
Amen.
That doesn't mean live in poverty. There's not, that has nothing to do with poverty. Jesus wasn't poor. Jesus wasn't sick.
No, he wasn't.
He took on sickness and poverty
right.
on the cross so that we would not have to experience it.
He took it on.
Right.
He picked it up.
Willingly picked
he
it up.
He allowed himself to be sick.
To be sin.
To that one time. He allowed himself to be poor that one time. He right. allowed himself to be worryful.
He was made poor that
fearful.
We would be made rich.
Right.
By his stripes, we are healed.
Right. There was never a time when Jesus had a headache that he needed to go lay down.
He was made sin that we would be made righteous. Right. See, that's him on the cross. And all those things have been put to death.
See, he had to be made sin.
Right.
We were sin.
Right.
He was made sin because he was already the righteousness of God. Right. So when he was made sin, we were made his righteousness.
Right, right. So there's no us picking up the cross to atone for our sins.
Right. There's nothing the way you can pay for your own sins.
To carry poverty or to you got to carry that sickness. It's part of the cross that you... No! Ugh. Then what was Jesus doing?
Right.
Then what he did was a waste of his time.
A total, total waste of time.
And I will not make Jesus' suffering be for no account in my life.
For naught. Mm-hmm.
I am going to access all the benefits that he died that I could have. Prosperity, wellness and health, joy, peace, rest... In all circumstances, please, folks, read what the scriptures say about carrying a cross and don't use it as a reason for a defeated life. Jesus didn't die so that we would be defeated.
Amen. He would die.
Jesus died so we could be victorious in every circumstance.
Amen.
Check it out for yourself. Check out that scripture for yourself. Don't rely on my interpretation or Andrew Womack's interpretation or anybody
mine,
else's.
Or Tim or Jason or any of that.
Find out for yourself.
Amen.
Go and dive into the Word and seek it out and let the Holy Spirit guide you. I don't like that message so much. I feel sorry for the person who really is preaching that message. I feel sorry for them because I feel like, do you realize
what joy could they possibly be having?
The joy is in their self. You see,
in their full stability.
That's what I think where that leads. That message of devastation leads to us feeling, well, look at me and me holding my cross and me and look what I do. Look what I bear in the name of Jesus. And it self-aggrandizes me. And we have to put that on Jesus and we have to give him the glory. If I'm saying how great I am because I can carry this heavy cross,
right,
then I'm putting all the glory on me. Which I'm sure whoever's preaching this message, really, that's probably not their intention. I know that they wouldn't want that, but that's the result of that.
Well, that's what that produces, right?
That's what that produces. It's bad fruit. I really want people to understand that. I don't want people living such sad
lives and think they're glorifying the Lord.
I know. What can we do?
we just pray that this podcast gets into the ears of the people listening to this who believe that garbage.
And check it out for yourself. Go to the Word.
Open your Bible. Read it.
Go to the Scripture with it. Read it. I don't see it anywhere in the New Testament where God wants you to suffer. Yeah, persecution, absolutely. Jesus said there will be trials. You will have persecutions. And you rejoice in the persecution because guess what? You have the victory already. No matter what you are going through, you already have the victory. Just don't give up. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. And always get your encouragement from the Word and like-minded believers who know the Word and can speak that Word into you, into your situation. But anyway, you want to make coffee?
Yeah. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Remember, get in touch with us at ahistorywithgod.com. Click on contact. Fill in the information on the left-hand side of the screen. If you want to hear more of Jason rapping, there's a little button there you can click. Do I want more of Jason rapping? And you click yes. So, by the way, don't tell him I said any of this, okay? I want it to be a surprise. And then you could just fill in the comment section if you want Jason to rap on any one topic. And we will have, maybe we'll do like a once a month thing where Jason raps. That would be awesome. Let's do that. Let's get a bunch of emails together and then I could show them to Jason. But don't tell Jason we're doing this right now, okay? Make it a surprise. Okay, so that's going to wrap it up. We will talk to you guys next week. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.